Blog Talk Radio.
Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show. Yes, well, tonight I am your host, servant Jason Felix, where we will be exploring the mysteries of God. And tonight's special is the purpose of the pulpit. What is the difference between the pulpit and the podium? With special guest, Elder Candy Johnson. So when after I give you my relay and I run down and run another song, we will come in with the great Elder Candy. So as we get into tonight, I just want to get started and just say thank you. Special thanks out to the Reverend Dr. Jesse Storr, my father, and his beautiful queen, my mom, Tammy Storr. Just want to send a shout out to everybody, my mom, my wife. Special shout out to my grandmother today, the matriarch of the family. Today is her 89th birthday. So let me just go on and dive in and not waste your time. I will give what we call a certain breakdown for the purpose of the pulpit to lead into our discussion tonight. But I like to break it through scripture. So with that being said, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Father God, as we go into this stage tonight, Father. We're just asking for you right now to edify us, Father, where it will be more of you and less than us, Father, that your word will be revealed, Father. So as we take our time and stroll through the scriptures, we just want to tell you that we love you and we're in all of you, and we thank you for you get all the honor, glory, and praise. With that being said, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's my thing. If Satan can take down a shepherd of God's people, the odds are much higher that God's people will scatter, that they'll become bitter and disenfranchised. You know, they will question everything they've ever been taught by that pastor. That's why it says for that pastor to be sober-minded and to be watchful, because we understand that our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion. You see, Satan targets it. He targets pastors because the damage is exponential if they fall. So we have to pray for our pastors and that they can be kept safe from Satan. So, Father, please protect them right now, our pastors, from the attacks of Satan. Give them the strength to endure temptation and stand firm against the accusation Satan loves to whisper in their ears. Help them to stand in the firm service of you, always fighting for the faith and for your people. But each person is tempted when they are lured and enticed by their own desires. So, then desire, when it has conceived, give birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. That's James 1:14-15. You see, pastors don't fall because one day out of the blue they decide to dive headlong into sin. They slide into sin happily, slowly, and over time in small increments, and then the pastor believes the lies presented to him by his flesh. So we have to pray for our pastors that they would be on guard against the lies of sin. We have to pray that they would have a proper fear of God. So, Father, please protect our pastors right now from the deceitfulness of sin that we all are so prone to. Guard them from sin, Father, and keep their conscience tender and fresh, and keep them close to you and close to your word. For in your word, I think it's in Romans, when it comes to Romans 1:11-12, they talk about, for I long to see you that I may depart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, by yours and mine. You see, pastoral ministry can be brutal. It can be discouraging work. And pastors find themselves in the midst of terrible situations on a regular basis, rather be divorce, death, apostasy, and even much more. It's also challenging because they don't see the progress in the sense that other jobs do. You see, Christians are always in progress. Because of this, discouragement and depression can be a regular companion of the minister. So we have to pray for our pastors to be encouraged. So with that being said, Father, please comfort our pastors right now by the power of your Spirit. Let their souls be refreshed with the love of Christ. Let them have faith for the future and help them to keep pressing forward even when the way is littered with landmines. Let them be refreshed by the fact that your grace is sufficient for them. Then we come when, I think it's in James 1:5, when it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be forgiven him. You see, many elements of the pastoral ministry are not black and white. A husband and wife are in serious conflict, and the husband has one story while the wife has another. A church member needs financial support but has a history of mismanaged finances. A young man struggles with same-sex attraction while still wanting to follow Jesus. You see, pastors need God's wisdom to navigate these gray areas. So, Father, please give our pastors your wisdom. Help them know the way to go even when the way is not clear. Help them and give them discernment to know good from evil, and when evil is dressed as good, yes, especially then, help them apply your word to even the most confusing situations. Then there's 2 Timothy 1:14, which says, by the Holy Spirit who dwells with us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. See, pastors, you know, they can be tempted to modify or even abandon biblical doctrines for a variety of reasons. And cultural pressures, vocal church members, even legal actions can press hard upon pastors, which will make them feel that the only way out is to give up the clear teaching of Scripture. You see, they need God's grace to stay faithful to the good deposit of God's word. So, Father, we pray for our pastor that you would help them hold fast to Scripture even when everyone else tells them to let go. Help them to stand on your word and your word only, and protect them from the temptation to abandon the precious truths laid out in Scripture. Yeah, for your word says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and keep it in control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. You see, ministry can be a tremendous toll on a pastor's body. And yeah, our bodies are temples, but they are often broken temples. Long nights at the hospital, high-stress situations, and ever-present discouragement can quickly lead to burnout and body betrayal. Not only do pastors need spiritual strength, they need physical strength as well. So we have to pray for our pastor that they will be sustained in body and mind. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, the wife of one husband, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. They must manage their own household well, with all dignity, keeping their children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage their own household, how will they care for God's church? 1 Timothy 3:2-6. You see, church history is littered with the skeletons of pastors whose marriages and families fell apart under the strain of pastoral ministry. And as 1 Timothy states, if a pastor can't manage his family, how can he manage the church of God? You see, Satan loves to sabotage a pastor's family, and your pastor needs prayer that God will give him a healthy marriage and family. So, Father God, please right now give our pastors a supernatural, healthy marriage. Strengthen the bonds between the husband and the wife. Encourage them both in ministry and give both of them wisdom to manage their family and to keep you at the center, not ministry. I also pray for their children that you would let them know you and follow you. You see, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That's Proverbs 18:24. You see, pastoral ministry can be surprisingly lonely, something that being in a position of leadership isolates the man. See, people look to him to be a teacher and a leader, not be their close friend, and pastors need close friends who will encourage them, hold them accountable, and push them toward Christ. So, Father, please give our pastors a deep, true, sustaining friendships. Give them friends who will stick closer than brothers, who uphold them when they're weary, and who will carry their burdens. So, Father, please give them right now that supernatural strength. Protect them from sickness and disease. Give them your energy to keep serving faithfully and help them to find periods of rest and recovery. Guide them to still waters, Father. You see, the pulpit is an elevated platform or higher reading desk used in a preaching or conducting a worship service. You see, a pulpit was a standard furnishing in most Christian churches until recent years, when many pastors began trading heavy wooden pulpits for high stools, small tables, and transparent podiums, or no furniture at all. And some modern churches have even discounted all traditional churchy symbols like pulpits and steeples in an effort to connect with the unchurched. Pulpits can seem imposing and create a natural barrier between speaker and congregation, while churches may keep elevated platforms to make those on it more visible. And many have abandoned the use of the traditional wooden pulpits in favor of less religious-looking fixtures. Now, whether a pastor uses a pulpit, a table, or nothing at all to preach from, God's word must take front and center, or the church is failing in its mission. I had the opportunity today to bring into this exploring the mysteries of God and the purpose of the pulpit. So as we take this journey this evening, it will be one of much beauty. I just want to thank everybody that came in tonight. I want you to think about that. What is the difference between the pulpit and the podium? And after I come back, I'm going to give the introduction to a great woman of God. Her name, Elder Candy Johnson. So had it on your mind, and as we come back, she's going to come in and give you her own spin.
Hold up, wait a minute, before we take this to the limit, wanna make sure that you're in it, can't be the only
back, everyone. Welcome back to Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show, where tonight we're exploring the mysteries of God and the purpose of the pulpit. I know I told you I had a special guest this evening. It is no other than the elder Candy Johnson. She is an elder at Judah Tabernacle Church in Melvindale, Michigan, where she directs the Outreach Ministry Oasis, which stands for Outreach and Saving Individual Souls, as well as the Intercessories Ministry. Elder Candy was trained under the tutelage of Bishop Designate Cedric A. Robinson and is licensed, ordained, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Candy's passion is to spread the word of God through outreach to those who stand in need of food, housing, employment, and education in any other capacity possible to fill their need and to reveal to them their true need in a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Finally, Elder Candy is married to her lovely husband, Anthony, and her daughter, Antonia. I hope I said it right, and her one grandson, Gates. I just want to let y'all know that this woman of God is powerful. She is all in. And if you will, I would like for you guys to put your hands together without any further ado and welcome the one and only Elder Candy Johnson.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and praise the Lord. Bless his name, oh my soul. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on tonight. And thank you to my brother, Elder Jason Felix, and to the Omega Ministries for allowing me to come on tonight. Hallelujah. I praise God for the opportunity, for them giving me this chance to share what the Lord has pressed upon my heart with the pulpit versus the podium. I just want to talk to you for a little bit. I just want this to be some real talk so we can have converse together and get an understanding. But I'm going to pray, and I'll read the scripture, and we can get into some deep conversation. Scripture reading is going to come from the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. I'll read the first 8 verses, and it reads, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate, Ezra the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation of both the men and the women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the 7th month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gates from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mathiah and Shema and Anallah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Manasseh on his right hand, and on his left hand was Pedash and Mishael and Melchiah and Hashem and Hashabadiah and Zechariah and Methusalem. And Ezra opened the book of the law in the sight of all of the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Yeshua and Bani and Sherebah and Jamil and Hajah and Mazira and Kalita and some of the others caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book of the law of God distinctly, and it gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come right now, mighty master, before your throne of grace, Father, asking, oh God, right now, that you would cover me, mighty God, and that you would reveal yourself to your people, oh God. I'm praying right now, oh God, that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth are acceptable in your sight. Father, decrease me as your spirit increases within me, that I might say what you would say and do what you would do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In that particular scripture of reading, Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, Ezra is teaching the people the law. The perp elevates him because there were so many people around and he needed them to hear. The purpose of the pulpit in the church is for the same reason. Is it a place for a lecture? Is it a place for a physiological presentation? Is it a place for the exposition of a personal opinion? Is it a place for a religious monologue? I suppose the answer to that question would depend upon who you ask, because many times, many of us walk into the doors of the sanctuary, seeking God, looking toward the pulpit, for someone to deliver a word from on high that is going to change our circumstance in time. We are disappointed. Why, you ask, Elder Candy? Well, I'm glad you asked. I believe oftentimes once a preacher is introduced, so often the introduction is so beefed up that the expectation of the congregation is increased to such a point that the delivery may not meet the expectation, and we failed our responsibility. I know what you're saying. You're saying, they that have an ear, let them hear what saith the Lord. But unfortunately, when you step in the pulpit with the stars, the spangles, and the banners on, I was a little thrown off and distracted and or confused on whether or not you had come to deliver the word or compete in a fashion show. Father, excuse me. But from the book of 1 Timothy in the second chapter, it reads how we are to modestly dress. It says, I know it's in here. Chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8 through 10. And here it says, I will therefore that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in a modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or clear white, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, if I'm going to come before you with the word of God, I don't need you to see me. When I come before you in the holy sanctuary, you don't need to see me. You don't need to hear me. You don't need to know what my shoe style is. You don't need to know how much jewelry I have on. You need to be able to focus in on what thus saith the Lord. The pulpit, unfortunately, for many churches, has been shut down. We've been going through a pandemic, and we're praying for God to open up the doors, allow us to come back in. But I think there are some things that we need to get an understanding about the pulpit. Now, on a podium, on the other hand, is something that is not necessarily standard in one stationary place. It can be moved from place to place. You can take a podium, stand outside, and say whatever you want. You have your freedom of speech. But when you are standing behind the sacred desk that is particularly dedicated for a religious purpose, not a secular purpose, that is not where we call out people's sin. That is not where we call out people in the congregation. That is not where we elevate ourselves in such a manner that those who came seeking help from God are unable to receive it because of us hindering the word. The pulpit, the sanctuary is in the sanctuary of God. In the old 18th century, there were levels to the pulpit. It was a place, the first level called it. It was in the 18th century. The bottom level was for the announcements. The middle level was for reading the gospel. And the top level was for preaching the sermon. In Baptist churches now, the pulpit stands squarely in the center of the platform to symbolize the proclamation of the word of God and the central focus of worship. In many contemporary churches, the pulpit is much smaller, and it is even often used and carried out afterwards for praise and worship service. Why is that? So that it will remain holy ground. The purpose of the pulpit from a biblical perspective gives a clear answer. It is to be used to read the law of God. They said read it in the book, the law, distinctly, to read it separately and with authority. If we are not preaching the life of Jesus Christ as our pattern, the death of Jesus Christ as our pardon, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as our power, then we have neglected the reason for being in the pulpit at all. And we need to reconsider and reevaluate our calling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know I'm talking better than y'all saying hallelujah, but that's all right, because the call for this, the pressing of my heart, is that we would be convicted and come into the throne of God and to ask for repentance for coming before the people of God with our orange and yellow suits on, with our snake skin orange and yellow shoes to match. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a place for that. It's just not the pulpit. I don't need to see your sinews, so I don't need your suit so tight. Sinews are reflected through your suit, because now I have to leave here and go repent when I came here seeking God. Hallelujah, anybody? Is anybody out there feeling what I'm talking about? You have so many things going on that I feel like I may be getting ready to have a seizure when I'm in here trying to focus on the cross. And I may even leave there, God forbid, the same way I came in, because I'm still trying to figure out how you got them Vans on and how you got them red bottoms on and how you got on all these things. Instead of trying to being able to focus in on how the Lord is my portion, the Lord has already died for every sin that I've committed, yet we find ourselves in the pulpit calling out sin, calling out the homosexuals, calling out those that we know what their sin is. When we then say, yes, God died for all sins. Well, if he died for the sins that we committed in the past, he died for the sins that we commit in now, he died for the sins that we are committing, then what should we be preaching to the people? Salvation, and that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah, anybody? Is anybody out there? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I bless the name of the Lord. We must beware. We make light of sinfulness of people from Monday through Saturday, and then all of a sudden we become so righteous on Sunday, when we all have our own cross to bear. The need for the church when we get in the pulpit is to cause everyone to be convicted to a place of repentance, including ourselves. Because of kids. Oh, not me, not just you, not just the ones in the pew, not the ones just in the back row, but all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. I wonder how many times has a pastor allowed someone to stand in their pulpit, giving them charge, and find out that they were not worthy to stand behind the sacred desk and expound the word of God. I find that sometimes all the theatrics, all the charismatics, all the dressing up is to deter from something. All the mascara is to deter from something. What is it? What is it are you trying to distract me from? Because oftentimes all I'm hearing is a clanging wagon. But I've heard this introduction. I've heard that you know the word. I know you do. And now you're in the place, in a position to dispense it unto the people. And I'm confused because I can't get by how you have desecrated the sacred death. We are given robes. We are given attire. We are given garb as ministers and elders of God, so that when we present ourselves to the people of God, they are not distracted by us, and they can see the God in us. Hallelujah. That there be one there, that he would be revealed. Not me, because I need you to be led to Jesus. I need you to be led to the cross, not to me. I heard of a person who had a church filled with people following them. Well, let me tell you something. I don't need a church full of people following me, because I might make, no, I'm going to make a mistake. But I know one who is perfect, who is able, and he's perfect in all his ways, and his name is Jesus the Christ. And if you're looking to leave behind someone, his life is our path. His death is our pardon. And his resurrection is our power. Now, I don't know right now, brother, if you have any questions coming through. I don't know if you have anybody on the line, or if you may have a question that you want to pose at this time.
Well, I'm just thanking you for this time. Before we even go any further, let's just rock through it real quick. Before I ask if there's any questions, I want you to press the number one on your phones, and I'll be able to bring you in. But I just wanted to touch bases on where you were at. You were at Nehemiah 8:6, where it says that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered amen and amen, and lifted up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You see, this means that the people went down on all fours and touched the ground with their foreheads. That is the way they worshiped in that day. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. You see, the thing about the purpose of the pulpit, it was for the reading of the law back then, and the asking and answering of questions, you see, caused the people to understand the law. You see, they stood in their places, and when something came up that they did not quite understand, they would have it clarified. I personally believe that the entire Bible should be taught in this way, and that every unclear verse should be explained. Now, I do not agree with the business of taking a text and preaching the gospel from it. That is the reason that there has much and such a lack in the interest in the Word of God. And I'm not sure, but what is handling the Bible deceitfully to take a text or a theme, then launch out into the deep with no thought of ever coming back to the Scriptures to explain it? See, I believe God intends for us to read the Bible and to attempt to explain, as it were, to go along. You see, the Word of God is supposed to bring you joy. That is one of the reasons John wrote in his first epistle, and I think it was 1 John 1 and 4, when he said, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You see, God doesn't want you to have a little fun. He wants you to have a whole lot of fun reading and studying his Word. You see, we have to study, and studying the Bible ought to bring joy into your life. It is, and if it doesn't, you got to face up to it, my people. You see, something radically must be wrong with you. You ought to go to the Word in prayer and say, Lord, I want your Word to bring joy into my life, and whatever cloud there is, I want to remove, that I may experience the joy of the Lord when I study the Word, and that will make church going a really happy affair. Watch this.
My brother.
Have you ever seen a crowd going to a football game, Elder? And it's like a holiday. You see, well, all the rejoicing that goes on. And have you ever watched people coming into church on Sunday morning? Boy, what a duty. What a burden. There are a lot of people with burdens, but the burden should be lifted in the service. You see, people should come out of the service with joy in their hearts. That's all I wanted to put on you right now. And it just had me there because the purpose of the pulpit is supposed to be to bring that word, to bring that milk and the meat and potatoes and to feed everybody swell, now well. I'm just glad that you came on here tonight. I want to give you a round of applause for coming on out here today.
Well,
yes,
I'm grateful
yes,
that you led
yes,
in.
Yes, yes. You see, I am so happy. Go ahead, Miss Candy. I'm so happy you're on here tonight.
Well, I'm excited because you came right in where I wanted to go. They fell down and worshipped because they got what they came looking for. How many times have you gone to church and actually got what you were looking for? The word actually met you where your need was. When the word was delivered, it is supposed to promote the centrality and the authority of the word of God. We are to preach the precepts of the word of God. The pulpit is not the place for my opinion. It's not a place for secular thought or debate or any non-biblical event. The pulpit is dedicated to the presentation of the word of God, the preaching of the whole counsel of God, according to Acts 20 and 21, the preaching of the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 1 and 17, the preaching of the truth, according to 2 Timothy. The pulpit must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The power of God without the message is just a speech. The purpose of God without which the message is just an opinion. So what have we received sometimes? A speech? Because sometimes I've heard people often say that. Well, I'm getting ready to just give you my little Christmas speech. Well, you may be saying that in pun, but in actuality, is that what it is? The purpose of God without which the message is just an opinion. The pulpit that is empowered by the Holy Spirit will evangelize the lost. It will edify that believer. It will exalt God. The pulpit must preach every aspect of life to equip the church. Yes, I'm going to fall down on my face because I was just convicted in my belly. Yes, I'm going to fall out on my face because God just delivered me. Yes, I'm going to fall down and worship him in spirit and in truth because he just fixed it. To make an impact for Christ, to make a brand for myself. I want to be a singer. Let me become a minister. So when every time I get up here, I can sing, and maybe somebody will give me a contract. Boo. Excuse me. But. Because that ain't what it's for. With the brand, how you going to make a brand off something that is already branded? Christ has been branded. He is the brand. That's the brand that we're supposed to be representing. There's no need to make a brand. Oh, what are you doing? Making yourself a name? So now you want to be an idol in competition with God? God forbid. How many times have we seen the holy death, sacred death, used for other purposes? My God, my God. To make an impact for Christ, to reveal the truth of God, and to identify, this is where you was talking about, where we're supposed to clarify and identify the sins and the error of the world. Now, once we identify the sins and the errors of the world, we allow the Holy Spirit to work those things out into those individuals. I don't need to call you out. You already know what your problem is. The Lord and the Holy Ghost will work that thing out, and sooner or later those things will start to fall off you. We have to rebuke the wickedness of sin in the world, to correct the faults of the world, to address the issues in the culture of the world, to preach the significant institutions of society. The pulpit has so much power, yet we let people walk out the door feeling unempowered. Or that their situation has not changed because they got distracted. And that was the plan of the enemy from the onset, to distract you. The word of God said that the seed has dropped. The seed has been delivered. And the people in Nehemiah, they received it. And that's why they worshiped. It fell on good ground. It didn't get stolen. It didn't get ate up. It wasn't on thorny ground. Didn't fall by the wayside. So when we go into the sanctuary of God, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That means get ready for the distractions. Get ready because the enemy is going to come and try and steal the word from you. Try and focus in on the word of God and not even see the person delivering it. I'm looking for Jesus. Because if I get caught up in all that other stuff, I'm going to have to go repent about that. Talk about what I heard. Walking out the church and someone said, well, what was the word? What was the name of the word? What was the word about? Did you receive a lesson? And all I can keep thinking about is, man, I wonder if I could get that person out of. That's not why I came. We have so many tools and props that we use as a distraction. And I think until we get some things back in order, because we serve a God who is a God of decency and order, the pulpit may remain in the status in which it is. And now with the airways open, we see hinds and all manner of things now. People are preaching from in any form they want to, in any way, in any manner that they choose. Some people say they can come on and just preach with just their shirts on. God forbid. And you're presenting yourself as being in the pulpit, or are you standing before a podium? In the world, you can do a worldly thing. But we can't transfer. We can't transfer the podium, but we can show transfer the pulpit to the podium and stand behind the podium and stand on the corner or in the marketplace and preach the word of God to all who will hear, just like they did here. And they all fell on their faces and worshiped the true great God. Hallelujah, somebody. I don't know how you're feeling, but I feel real good. God has been pressing and pressing upon me. I remember my when I first came out as a minister, I was at another institution, and at that time they did not have female ministers, and they weren't going to have them. But God called me, and we had discussions about how I would look, how I would present myself, how I would distract from appearing alluring, because that is not what I want to do. I need you to be allured to God. But I don't need my face beat 9,000 times. I don't need to have the best lace front on, because guess what? I don't need you to see me at all. Chances are it'll be all black again. Because I don't need you to see me. Because I have received a word from on high, and I need to get it to you. It may be a word that you will even be able to take and evangelize to someone. That's what he says. The Lord says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Not if I lift myself up. I am nothing. His word says, but a dirty, filthy rag. So, my brother, I really appreciate the opportunity of coming on tonight. I think the one last point I wanted to leave you with and the audience with is they are the targeted institution of the enemy. Number one, as always, is the church. Family is second. Your education is next. And the government. Every Christian must pray for the pastors in the pulpit that they will preach the word of God without compromise. Every Christian must seek out pastors who recognize and respect the biblical in the Bible purpose of the pulpit of their own lives, the lives of their children and of their grandchildren. Every pastor must recognize and respect God's desire for the pulpit. Every pastor and or church that does not recognize and respect the pulpit from God's perspective is not a true church in the eyes of God himself. In fact, such a pastor and such a church are deceivers and may lead many people away from the truth. God bless you all. I just want to pray and thank God, Father. Thank you. I come before you. Thank you, Lord, for coming into me, oh God. I thank you, oh Lord, for raining down your word, Lord, and using me as your vessel on tonight. Father, I thank you, oh God, that your word was sent, hallelujah, God, to bless someone, to set a captive free, oh God. Lord, I thank you, oh Lord, that right now, oh God, chains have been broken and minds are being changed even as we speak right now, oh God. I thank you, oh Lord, hallelujah, that your blood still works. I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us, Lord. Those that is all, knowing that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But most of all, Father, I thank you for your sanctuary, and I thank you for your pulpit. I thank you for your true women, men and women of God who bring forth the unadulterated gospel for the people and to give them instruction and clarification on how to apply it to their lives. I thank you, oh God, for transforming my life, because, God, you know how far I had to be picked up. I bless your name on tonight, God, and I bless each and every one of you that were on the line listening with us on tonight. Hallelujah and glory unto God.
Yes, yes, yes. Great word on tonight, Elder Candy. Yes, you had a great word on tonight, the purpose of the pulpit. And right now I got a little special surprise just for you, Elder Candy. I have unmuted your mic, Bishop Designate Cedric H. Robinson. How are you this evening?
Well, bless you, sir. Thank you for having me. My intent was to tip in and tip out. I'd like to tip in and hear what my elders and ministers are doing, if they're doing well and whatnot. So I want to thank you, Elder Jason, and Elder Candy for the outstanding jobs you are doing, the assignments that you are fulfilling. I tip in so that I can hear if it's gospel. I tip in so I can hear if it's the word of God. I tip in so I can, if you're going to be my minister, I want to make sure that you are rightly dividing the gospel. Amen. So I concur with Elder Candy on tonight. As she was speaking, the Lord was dropping nuggets in me. I was just taking it in because he was telling me, I think she used Nehemiah, and Nehemiah uses the word pulpit. And that word in Strong's, if I recall, has to do with a tower. And so that's what a pulpit is. But a podium is a place that has a loft where people can be seen, like an orchestra leader. So God dropped it in my spirit as Elder Kenny was talking that the pulpit is for the hearer, the hearing of the word, and the podium is for those to be seen. And what Elder Canley so eloquently communicated was Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The only way you can do that, you had to go through something. A sacrifice is when you give up something for the betterment of something else. A batter might hit the ball to the left field and get out. That's a sacrifice so that the first baseman can advance to second base. David wanted to give up something when they were trying to have him to pay for the threshing floor. But David said, I can't give God what doesn't cost me anything. So you have to sometimes make that sacrifice. So when you present your bodies as if you've already been through something, you've already been to the mountaintop, and God is using you as a speaker so that those out there can hear. But those in the podium want to be seen. They're elevated so that people can say, see me. It's when they want to put on entertainment.
Amen.
Entertainment is different than the gospel. The gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. We present our bodies, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, under God. For this is the most reasonable thing we can do. And then he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to not be the old man, but when you've been baptized and you put on the new man, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. All things are become new. So you present this newness. You present the gospel in its simplicity, because the eschatological purpose is either the end time or the present. So if I want to get them to the end time, I take them now from the present state that they are, to get them to where God wants them to be. And I'm just so excited because she's dropping
Amen.
Nuggets. And I was picking them up. I was picking up when she was laying down. So I'm just so excited for the two of you, the both of you, the pair of you. Candy on tonight, exquisitely put. Jason, keep up the ministry in which God has already availed you to. And I think the two of you are going to do great things in God. I can go on and on, but
so
I think
much.
I better stop.
I appreciate
thank you
that.
So much.
Bishop
that was
Lash.
A great surprise.
Yes, yes. I'd like to thank everybody on tonight that came on to take this exploration with us as we explored the mysteries of God and the purpose of the pulpit. It was a great, great presentation from Elder Candy. I really appreciate you coming on the show and do your thing. Like I say, the world is listening. We're not just at home. We're being listened to all over the world. And right now, the list of callers in here was amazing. So I'm going to leave us with this, because I was supposed to be on a Zoom call this evening with my grandma, because it's her birthday. So I know that we tape all the shows, and I didn't get a chance to do the Zoom call. So with that being said, I just want to talk about her for this moment. You see, when you hear the words patriarch or matriarch, what comes to mind? Aged, powerful, influential. See, those are the things we often associate with these terms. And by definition, a patriarch or matriarch is a man or woman who is the oldest in the family or tribe and possesses considerable influence and power because of their wisdom and longevity. See, some patriarchs and matriarchs rule their families like tyrants. Yeah, my grandmother was no joker, her coming up, but they have what we call a firm grip and tight control, and sometimes empowered by a strong financial position. You see, when I think of a matriarch, like in my situation of celebrating her life today, grandma's story reflects God's purpose. When I think of the queen who is born this day, it takes place honor in our family. You see, in a word, she is powerful, she is revered, and she holds the place as the matriarch, not only because she is the oldest member of the family, but because she has known herself deserving of such respect and honor. It's in the word of Romans 15:4 where it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So with that being said, I want to say this, Grandma. To my grandma, matriarch, prayer warrior, protector, confidant, and friend, you're God's greatest gift on this side of heaven, and I just want to thank you for being the backbone of this family. Because of your prayers, we're still standing. And you know I know about that, because Psalm 18 is what brought me to my bishop-elect, that is my spiritual father, because of you and those prayers while I was in that hospital bed so many years ago. So I just want to thank God for you, and I want to tell you that I love you. You see, Grandma Mandy, with your name biblically meaning worthy of being loved, that exemplifies who you are and what you stand for. And with that being the greatest example, that is the example of love, that agape love. So may the Lord continue to bless you, keeping you away from sickness or harm or danger or spiritual death and all poverty. We just want to thank you in advance, Father, for all the glorious ways of prosperity that you will allow to come to pass in Grandma Store's life, from health to wealth to family. We just want to give you all the honor, give you all the glory and all the praise this evening. It's in the master's mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And I got to play this song for you as we leave on out. It is the song of all songs. Happy birthday, Grandma. Happy birthday, Grandma Store. As we end this, I just would like to say thank you, everyone. Always keep God first in your life. His word says, seek him first and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. And remember, God knows the plans that he has for you, and that is to give you a future, and that future with hope. And remember, as we leave this place, as you go to your destinations, that you be safe. And remember always that Jesus is Lord. Thank you.